A motley band of heroes set sail, bound for a new life in a lonely island outpost. Beneath the waves, the shattered bones of a long-dead civilization. Treasures beyond the dreams of avarice. Dangers beyond the realm of nightmares. A tale 10,000 years in the making. This is the Raiders of the Lost Continent.
Still waiting on those damn VR lenses.
Still?
Still!
They were only in Cologne a week ago.
I know, it's... I think they're held up at customs.
What is this shady business?
I started to go down the rabbit hole of VR after hearing you talk about it. And I'm like, no,
oh,
no.
Oh, a rabbit hole.
No, I don't even know where to start. I'm going to stick with my PS5 and stay in my lane.
Well, there's the PS5 VR.
Stop! No.
You gotta wait for the next iteration on the PS5 VR. They're still running the old tech, but Troy will be happily dark demon soling things in VR left and right. He'll be dying in first person vision all the time. It'll be great. God,
I'll be a new game plus by then.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I kept thinking about it, and I was like, you know, going through the pros and cons in my head of like, you know, this massive purchase. And one of the cons I find is just like the room you play in. You know, it's like, it's very, you got to have space and you got to not be able to knock things over and you got to whatever. And I just kept thinking like, man, if I could ever get a house with just like a room, like a holodeck, where it's just like a room, nothing in it. It is just for VR gaming. It would be amazing.
You could do it with like in Community, actually paint it like the holodeck and just put your VR setup in there and you'd be in heaven.
Oh, it'd be amazing. So you close the door, lock it so you know no one can come in.
That's actually one of the, because I have the Index, the Valve Index, and it has like a hub room that you can do stuff off of. So it's this VR environment that's kind of, you know, like the Wii Home or whatever. And so you can do custom environments, and one of them is the bridge of the Enterprise, the next generation Enterprise. And so I fired that up the other day, and I can barely see it, but I'm sitting in the captain's chair on the Enterprise, and I'm looking behind me, and it's like, I'm here, and I'm walking around, I'm trying to like jimmy the door into the ready room, I'm trying to get in there, I can't do it. And
the Enterprise D or the Enterprise E?
The what's the difference? It's the E, I think, right?
The E is the one from the like First Contact and beyond. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was it must be the early one. It was a fan made one, so it's like
Probably the D. Yeah, if the stations on the outer wall face in, it's the E. If they face out, it's the D.
Jesus, are you interacting Christ. In L cars?
They all use L cars,
right? I know, but I'm asking if his VR setup lets him like pull up like MP3s. Like you can look up like Sublime's. Like greatest hits in L cars and hit play. That'd be great.
I would love that. Maybe. I'm very confused.
I had one on the Oculus that I tried out that was the exact replica of the space station, the International Space Station. And you could just like open a hatch and go outside. And there's all these warnings come up. They're like, you will vomit. You're going to vomit on yourself. Just be aware of vomit. And I like opened the hatch and went out and I'm like crawling along it. It was awesome. It was awesome. But at a certain point I was like, "Whoo! All right. Enough of that." Took it off as I got worse and worse. But it was so gorgeous and really cool looking. Really neat.
It's cool. I actually ordered some Dramamine to go with my headset because I can't do it for too long, but I'm so addicted to it. Like it's making me ill, but I can't stop. And the Google Earth is like you put in the Google Earth and it's just like Google Earth, like on your browser or whatever, but you're standing in it. Like you're standing, you feel like Godzilla. Like I was going over like New York. And I felt like I was Godzilla standing over Manhattan. I'm like swiping at buildings. It was amazing.
That is really cool.
But, you know, at the moment, there's really only one virtual reality that I'm concerned about. And it's the island of Ankarata that we're creating in our minds. It's called Pathfinder, folks. So, as I recall, you guys leveled up at the end of the last episode. So, I am very curious as to what that entailed for each of you. Let's go over the Zoom call order here. Let's go, Joe, what is Zora? What'd she get at her new level?
Oh, old Zora. Let's see. So, she gets another spell, another second level spell.
No barbarian dip?
Barbarian dip. Not with her 8 strength. No, she did
barb
not take
4-1 barb dip. Barb dip.
So she gets another second level spell, and I went back and forth on a lot of things. It's really kind of narrowed down the ones that are, I think, considered to be the best options. And the one that is considered far and away to be the best option, I didn't take for various reasons, one of which is just, you know, I've seen it before and I don't want to just go down the road of the easiest thing, which would be Glitter Dust. Glitter Dust is widely considered to be the best one. I don't really see why it fit in her class or anything like that. So I took another one that I thought we've used a lot, but I feel like it could be used even more effectively in different ways as I think about it. So I took Silence for her second level spell.
Ooh, interesting.
And it's something that I could be, because she's spontaneous, I could cast it multiple times a day. I could use it in a lot of interesting situations, I feel like, whether it's stealth or whether it's working against casters or whatever. I feel like it has a lot of flexibility. So I went with that. And then she gets this really cool ability from her archetype, which, I mean, I just really love this archetype, Chronicler of Worlds. It is called... Let me find it here. It is called Scrivener's Versatility. And it basically says a Chronicle of Worlds seeks to emulate history's greatest scribes, studying the lore of blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on. You can select a skill off of a brief list that you can use your linguistic skill in place of. You've studied so much of other people's writings on like how to do this, and because of her whole situation with the colonel's trunk and when Roberta came in and did the whole picking of the lock and everything like that, she like wrote it all down and committed everything she did to memory, and she is doing like studying on disabled device. So I took disabled device her thing, so I can use my linguistic skill on disabled device. So
this is a bard subclass, right? Is that right?
Yeah, it's a bard archetype. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's kind of like the bard ability to substitute your performance ability for other like diplomacy or whatever. It's kind of like mechanically like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah. I forget what that ability is called. I can't remember, but I don't think she has that.
That might be the substitute for that, or a substitute anyway.
No, it's the substitute is for well-versed. You become resistant to sonic effects. Yeah, so that's the main stuff, is the new spell and that little ability. So now I have a disabled device. I just have to get some thieves tools first. But otherwise, yeah, that's pretty much it. And we're going to roll HP live, I assume?
Oh, yes. That is very exciting. We will do that.
All right. So it is a D8, and I got an 8 for my last level. So
you sure did.
To keep that train going.
The Grant Berger rule will be in effect. You both roll the same number. We have to re-roll regardless of what the number is.
Oh, please don't roll the same number, because I rolled a 7.
I rolled a 2.
Okay. You win. All right. I'll take it. Oh, I also wanted to mention, skills-wise, I got 10 ranks to distribute. I put them...
Love it.
Wow. That's awesome, because of her high intelligence.
It's Christmas morning.
Yeah. So yeah. I put them, you know, a little all over. I didn't really do much in knowledge, because she has such high knowledge already. But I did do, obviously, linguistics. And I got another language. So I took Syrinx. I figured after she was talking to them, she like immediately, because she's so intelligent, could start learning their language.
And I love that. It's like 13th Warrior. You just spend one night with them around the fire and you're speaking the language already. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I love how they did that in the movie. Yeah. No, I know. But you know what, dude? The thing is, you could try to metagame it as much as you want. But, you know, she's got... 8 languages now, 7 languages. I'm like, cool. I don't know, man. What random monster are we going to come up against? I don't know. So it's just like, I figured I'd take something story-wise. And then that's also awesome. Put one
point.
She's
like Dikembe Mutombo. Like 8 languages. Right. It's crazy.
That's right. And then I just put one point because of the way we ended last time in climb. So her climb went from -1 to +3.
That's a pretty big difference. You use the skill, yeah, and then you've ranked up a point.
Yeah, certainly yeah. not power gaming with that climb rank. But I'm just like, I feel like she fell and she was like, no, I'm not doing this again. On a climb this easy, I can't let this happen. Yeah, like, fuck this. Fuck this.
I read every book on climbing I have at my disposal. Scrivener. Well, that is awesome. That's great. Matthew, I appreciate, has been throwing up different Enterprise backgrounds on the Zoom call. Very nice.
This is the E.
This is the E. Okay. So it is the D that I was in. This That's one, this the, is D, the D.
Right. Yeah.
I'll show you the D.
Well, I guess that
was only Matthew, get that Not D that off your background.
Zoom call at all.
Good night, everybody.
Matthew, what does Gavo get at this level?
Not a ton at sixth level. Sixth level is... Something is going on.
Matthew.
It's not important. It's not important at all.
Not a ton happens for a swashbuckler at sixth level. I get an additional use of Charmed Life per day.
Now, what does Charmed Life give you?
Charmed Life allows me to add my charisma bonus to a saving throw.
Oh, right.
Which I've used sometimes and throughout the show. But I guess the biggest thing a sixth level swashbuckler gets is the second attack. So now,
that's right!
Wow,
right!
Yeah,
game changer.
That's huge.
Yeah, you're the only full BAB character on the show.
So, no, the Ranger is right. Yeah, Ranger is.
Nope, that's it.
Oh, right. Yeah. So little foreshadowing of what may be to come with Grant.
So right, you guys great. Are now confirming fumbles.
That's so great. All right. Yeah. World of difference.
Wow. And difference. I also put a skill point in climb for the same exact reason.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, I could knock up my sense motive by 1, or I could give myself an effective +4 to climb.
Yeah. Like, thereby guaranteeing those DC5 climbs.
Yeah.
That's great. So you guys had a little mini climbing seminar on the slopes of Mount Bridgewalker.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Mount Bridgewalker. And
Bridgewalker Mountain. I'm sure Drakeus was walking us through it. Teaching us the finer points of climbing.
Bridgewalker Mountain. In the shadow of the beautiful Hildebrand.
Can we call the mountain Big Stinky Hole instead? Oh. I think that's appropriate.
Yeah. It is a big stinky hole. But
that's
then again,
the caldera. You can call the caldera Big Stinky Hole. And it's
stink hole.
Atop Bridgewalker Mountain.
Can it be like Baton Rouge and like the Grand Tetons? Can it be in French? Big Stinky Hole in French? Can we call it that?
Yeah, look that up. Somebody look that up.
Great.
Bridgewalker's Big Stinky Hole.
You want your HP?
Yes, HP. What is that's a D10?
D10 for a swashbuckler.
All right, let's see. Grant Berger rule in effect. 4.
I rolled a 2, so 4.
Oh, no.
RIP.
Gavo.
You hate to see it.
All right, what about Colonel Luther? What did you get at level 6?
I joked about it before we went on air. Clerics don't really get a lot, but they do get more powerful as they get access to more spells. I got another 3rd level spell, which, I don't know, at this point I've got a lot of spells that I'm interested in. It just depends on what I feel like that morning. Getting that +1 to hit is so huge, because I feel like the Colonel misses more often than he should. And so an extra chance to hit is good. Didn't have very many skill points and really no powers. Not a boring level. I don't want to say he's a boring level. I think he just got slightly more powerful. And then that's what happens with clerics. It's just like creeps and then all of a sudden, god status.
Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit off air, but did your channels per day go up to 0?
You guys, these sons of guns. No, it was 4 times per day, and it still is 4 times per day.
All right.
Which he will happily use outside of combat.
When no allies are within 20 feet.
When no allies are within 20 feet.
Personal. Hide in a room by himself and channel positive energy.
He shares channel positives like he did his G.I. Joes.
Wash your hands before I channel. To wash our hands before where you channel more often.
Show me your hands and we'll talk. No, those do look clean, but so hairy.
keep the, I shampoo the backs of my hands every day.
Do you condition?
I condition
the jail in the back of my hands.
Just I own more shampoo every other day.
Put some styling mousse in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Little pomade. Does Caitlin braid the backs of your hands
while you watch Netflix? Puts a little Rasta beads in there.
All right. Well, do you want to do, let's do some HP there.
Oh, I hate this part. Okay.
D8. For you, too, because you like being up in the front of D8, combat.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
No, five? No.
I'll take five? A five over a two.
Oh, man.
Oh, give me a five any day of the week.
Yeah, yeah. Five is fine.
I've actually got, this is my third five since we've been leveling up.
Wow.
All right, middle of the road. He's an old man.
The old man might have a little juice in him left. And let's move on to a younger man. Grant Berger, what does Drakeus get at level 6?
The biggest thing that he got was a bonus combat feat. And I got to choose Great Cleave. Cleave altogether. The biggest difference in the text is that if you make a successful attack against one enemy, you are able to continue attacks against adjacent foes instead of an adjacent foe. So I can just keep on, like if there's multiple people next to this enemy, I can keep on going. It's very cool. There's another cleave out there that allows you to just get any enemy within your range if you hit a glaive, hit the main enemy. I forget what that's called. That's not as powerful as this, but it's still really neat to have. And then,
so that's a ranger combat style. Is that why you're able to skip the prerequisites?
Yeah, I'm a two-handed specialist, and it's one of the ones available to me.
Okay, cool.
So it allows me to skip that. The other cool thing that I got, well, just the biggest thing is I now have a second attack as well. Mm-hmm. So that is great to see. And I have a plus 15 and swim, which is no small feat. But something
Marlin only has a plus 12, I think. So that's pretty good.
take that, Florida. But yeah, he's kind of really skill wise. He's building out based off of his physicality. So he's got a plus 10 to climb. He's got a plus 12 to stealth. You know, he's got a plus 13 to acrobatics. So it's really about kind of the training he's going through in order to withstand, like, at first, the incredible depths of pearl diving around the Eye of Avendego, but now it's just surviving this crazy island. So
that's great. I love mechanics when people focus on mechanics that reflects the concept of the character like that. That's great. Mm-hmm. In fact, bottle cap.
Oh, wow.
Hey.
Oh, that was tough. You know, they're free for me here. Bottle cap.
Level up cap?
Yeah, level up cap.
Wow. Nice.
I knew I should have taken magic missile.
All right, let's do your hit points there, my friend. That's
anybody got any doubts? Any doubts?
Use the cap.
It's actually a great time to use the cap.
Ooh, three.
Oh, wow.
We got so many fives, and no one can see this right now, but I put the Babylon 5 background behind me. I think I cursed everyone's rolls.
You totally did.
I just rolled another five for the hell of it. Damn it.
Oh.
Damn it, Grant.
I just rolled a D8 and it was a five. Honestly, God, I'm not even exaggerating.
This is fucked. This is so fucked.
Are we playing Delta Green? Yeah, that's what it feels like. They're coming.
Yeah, so I'm now, just as it's fun to look back, and it's only six numbers, obviously 10 for first level, 8, 7, 4, 8, 5. So,
okay.
Still above average, good. But it like kind of is regression towards the mean, as they like to say, when like Giannis Antetokounmpo has like one week long 40% from three, like shooting range, like that's not going to last.
Yeah, that's not sustainable. All right. So, yeah, you guys are now, you have crested the caldera of Bridgewalker Mountain. You're standing within the crater atop this supposedly dormant volcano, and you're looking at this ancient structure sitting atop an island in the middle of it. Does anyone want to do a history or engineering on this thing?
Ooh, I wouldn't mind doing a little hist. I can do that. It's one of the few knowledges I can do. Ah, not great. 15.
So I got a 21.
21. Okay. You It's not quite.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll give you something. I'll do engineering.
Okay, yeah, do engineering.
I've got both. 30. Natty 19.
Oh, great. Okay.
30 knowledge engineering.
So yeah, you're looking at this thing and you're like, this isn't quite Aslanti. There's something off about this. It's not quite like the other structures we've seen. You can't put your finger on it, but then you go into your engineering knowledge and it's like, you know what this reminds me of is Cyclopean structures, like buildings built by the Golgani Empire, the Cyclops Empire. That's what this looks like.
Oh my God.
Wow, it's so weird. There's like Ulfin ruins in one part. There's Cyclopean ruins here. There's a Strix Island. It's like this place just pulled in every possible culture,
yeah,
and jammed them all together like a bunch of dimensions crashed into each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
But like, it does. Like it looks drift. Like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it looks like a hybrid of Aslanti and Golgani. That's what you think.
The colonel will turn to the group and say, "This bubbling, it is foreboding. This is allegedly a dormant volcano, and yet we hear bubbling. We feel heat. Gather around me. I think I can help protect us should fire come into play." And he reaches out so that you have to touch him. Do you touch him?
Azura will touch him.
Drakis will touch.
Gabo will as well.
And he casts Resist Energy Communal. Set for fire. One of my third level Johns.
Ooh,
okay. Just to give you a little resist energy 10 against fire, and that'll last for an hour.
That's great.
Okay.
Just in case anybody falls in the lava.
That's uncharacteristically helpful move there by Colonel Luther. So, yeah, like you're standing, you're, God, maybe 1,500 feet away from this island, from where you're standing.
1,500 feet, okay. Start creeping, being aware of our surroundings, perceiving as we go, making sure we don't get jumped.
Yep.
Okay, you guys climb down this slope, and you get to the shore of this lake. And yeah, you don't see anything like this mist kind of hovering above your heads. It's just kind of locked in place. And you don't see anything else. So yeah, you get down to the shore and you see the ruins of this bridge. You're like standing at the foot of it. Actually, I'll show you on roll 20. That is the island. You're still kind of far away from it on the shore, but that's what you see from a distance. You see the pillars of this ancient bridge that's collapsed into the caldera, and this 120 foot high tower sitting on top of the island.
Can I roll? Is there a knowledge check I can roll on the Cyclopean's empire? The Cyclopean empire we're talking about.
Yeah, I would allow. You could do a knowledge local or history.
Interestingly, Gabo knows just a little bit more than nothing in knowledge local now. He put a single skill point in his second knowledge skill. He has nobility and local.
Okay.
17 on knowledge local.
Okay. You don't know much about the history of the Cyclops people. You do know that they had an empire that was sort of concurrent with the Aslanti, you think. But the one thing that does spring to mind about the Cyclops is they are known for prophecy.
Oh.
And foresight.
Interesting.
Ooh, a little Oracle Cyclops action.
The other thing, too, that's interesting about Cyclops from just like a lore perspective is I think some of their settlements are like older than Elven settlements. And like when I've come across their stuff in stuff I've run in other games, like it's often very like weird, dark, old, difficult to understand magic emanating from some of the stuff they leave behind, which is really creepy.
Yeah, that Azura would know that their history goes back to the Age of Serpents.
Wow.
And beyond. Like, it goes way, way back. They are at least as ancient as the Aslanti.
By the way, I misspoke. It's, we each get that for 15 minutes, because I have 60 minutes total, so it's only 15 minutes. So,
so we better run.
Let's zip in.
Is there a way to gauge the temperature of the water? You said it was bubbling. Is it like bath water, or
cool
is
the other side of a pillow?
Do you put your body part in it?
I gaze longingly at Drakeus's tanned and toned limbs.
Mm. Drakeus, he's happy to put his foot in for sure and start moving in, kind of like Bugs Bunny gets into like the boiling pot in the old Looney Tunes.
Classic.
Okay. The minute you step into it, it feels very comfortably warm, like 90 degrees, probably.
It's bath water.
Ooh,
bath
come, water. Like a hot tub.
And Drakeus then just goes backwards, like into a back stroke as he like kicks his legs out away from the edge of the shore.
Okay.
We watch him melt.
No, oh, he breaks apart into pieces within seconds.
Pops like a balloon. Can I ask, before you guys move on, what sort of options do you guys have for underwater breathing, if any?
I can cast air bubble on someone, if need be. I'm not concerned about myself because I have so many extra quadruples of rounds of drowning. So I'm not worried about doing that to myself.
Fuck, I have access to the third level spell water breathing, but I didn't memorize it today. I have a ring of swimming.
I have a snorkel.
Okay. Oh, you have one too? Snorkel buddies.
Yeah. Let's go snorkeling.
Look at that fish.
Mm. Azura can breathe underwater.
Okay. Oh, right. Okay. Wow. All right. Great. So, yeah, what do you guys do? Are you guys going to... Do you guys want to try to swim out? Do you want to look for other options?
Yeah, Azura is... she's willing to do a little scouting under the water. She'll take her masterwork underwater heavy crossbow and load it, and then just sort of like go under the water and just see what she can see just at first glance.
Okay. So, Azura, you go 20 or 30 feet out to where your head is submerged, and the water, it's this sulfurous water, it's very cloudy, there's very, very little visibility in this water.
Okay. She'll come back, say as much. Can I do a perception actually before I do that for sound? Because obviously it's going to travel a lot better underwater. Mm-hmm. See if she hears anything out of the ordinary, any moving parts or anything like that. 19.
You don't hear anything other than just the sound of being underwater. That's it.
Sorry, that is a 20 due to level 6. I apologize. No difference.
Yeah, okay. Nothing.
Can we scout around on shore to see if there is some sort of like buried means of like, I don't know, a zip line or chain that you can is used
or
to
a raft?
Yeah, something is buried.
As a follow up to your question before, Skid, I do have this ability called Heart of the Sea, which is like one of my early skill abilities, like racial abilities I replace, and it allows me to hold my breath twice as long as normal.
Okay.
And gives me a bonus to like casting underwater concentration checks and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Not as good as Azura, though.
Hmm. You're like Robert De Niro in Men of Honor.
Could he cast spells with a +4 to his concentration?
No, but he legendarily held his breath for a long time during a World War II wreckage. Becomes a plot point later in the movie when he has to vouch for his protege, and he's, you know, okay, never mind.
Oh, I remember that now. Okay. Yeah, so what do you guys do?
I can do a perception check around the shore.
Okay.
Yeah. Tracks, prints.
I'll do one.
24.
Don't help.
24. Okay, so Gavo, you're kind of like kicking around the shoreline where you are, and you see under some scrub brush and rocks, you see this sort of piece of driftwood sticking out from underneath this pile of detritus. And if you go and, like, investigate, you see it as a crude raft.
Mm. Ooh, yeah! Crude raft?
Crude raft.
I'm not a bro.
That raft is just so crude.
It's crude, but it has a good heart. Don Rickles.
We shall name this raft the SS Rickles. Rickles.
The SS Rickles. Rickles. Rickles.
The SS Rickles.
Oh, boy. I smash an empty wine bottle against his head.
It crumbles.
Well, at the very least, we can put like the heavy. Does the colonel still have heavy armor? We could put the armor on there. Allow us to swim.
Put the armor on there. Well, I think I can swim in the armor now.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, we could also do the old float to the bottom. Walk along thing too. I don't know.
Can we just take a sense of the depth?
Yeah, you actually do a profession sailor, Luther.
Hold on, let me.
Or Drakeus.
Taste this water.
Well, Troy's question got run over, which is what I was asking as well as, can we just take the raft? Like, is it for people or is it just, it only can hold equipment? It's like a small little thing.
Well, that's what I'm getting at with the skill check.
23 on the I thought it was profession sailor.
Sorry.
Is the craft seaworthy?
It is. You think you could probably fit 6 medium-sized creatures on it comfortably.
Right. I'll go across and send it back.
We'll just put your armor on it.
The colonel alone with the observatory.
Or
the
chicken? Yes.
So we have to put the chicken on with the colonel, but then maybe we can come back with the colonel and leave the chicken there.
And then we eat the fox.
Okay.
I think we can you want to all get on the raft?
Yeah.
If I'm not in a combat in 15 minutes, I'm going to lose my mind. Can we get on this raft and get on this island?
It's been like 5 episodes, I know. I'm sorry.
And like
I'm sorry,
now I'm 6th level, and I want to use my stuff, and I want to see old Two Attacks McGee's over here. Let's go.
I smashed the raft with my flail. 24 to hit.
Roll for initiative.
Rickles fights back.
Splinters.
Rickles, describe your kill.
So you start pulling. Who's actually pulling the raft out?
Gavo will pull it since he found it.
Okay, so Gavo found it. It's like, hey, I found a raft, and you're pulling it out, and your hands are sticky as you notice, like as you touch the bottom of this thing.
Oh,
that was a pre-existing condition.
There's this nothing to do with the raft. Oh, you pull him away, and there's also like, whoa, there's like this really strong pungent odor coming from this substance that seems to be coating the bottom of the raft.
Hey, I got a pungent, sticky thing over here. Someone want to come check this out?
Gavo, this is why we don't share a room.
I think Drakeus would know that they tar boats in order to like help keep them waterproof. So he's thinking about that as he goes over to look. And does he smell tar or no?
No, this does not smell like tar. This smells like an
animal. I can recognize tar, Drakeus.
How can you hear my thoughts?
I know what you're thinking.
I know what you're thinking. No, it's not tar. I already thought of that.
We've been spending entirely too much time together.
I'm just impressed. I'm not even angry.
So it's it smells like a musky odor, like it's very strong.
Azura will come over and do a knowledge nature on the substance, see if it is attached to a creature of some kind.
Yeah, knowledge nature or craft alchemy, if anyone has that.
I'll aid Azura. I aid with a 23.
That is a 25 with the aid.
Okay. So this substance, whatever it is, it feels like it's not quite natural, but it has all natural ingredients, you think. It's
a Capri Sun?
Yeah.
What about GMOs?
It's Sunny D.
Does it have GMOs?
This is something that it reminds you of. Actually, with that high of a roll, what it's the closest thing that you can think is it's like hagfish slime.
Hagfish are bad news, man.
This could be hagfish slime, but it seems to have been manipulated. I actually do have a rank, which I did this level. I put in craft alchemy.
Oh,
could okay. I roll that just to see if this, it seems like somebody's using this? Well, that makes sense for a first ever craft alchemy roll. That's yeah. an 11.
Yeah, so that's mediocre, but you are able to say, to guess that this is, seems like some kind of repellent.
So it was trying to keep barnacles off or something like that. Try to something. Keep something
or
away
other creatures
from chewing on the bottom of the boat.
Right.
She'll ask Drakeus about that. Have you ever heard of using hagfish slime to keep a certain creature away from the bottom of boats?
The strange thing about being underwater, as you know, is where as many creatures are more attuned to the olfactory senses than we are on land. Shark can smell chum in the water from miles away. Other creatures are attuned to different scents. Yes, this may repel them. I've seen smaller creatures hide inside of poisonous sea anemone to avoid sharks and squids and crabs and other predators. So this is a similar tactic, yes.
But you don't know this hagfish slime being used by humans before for this specific reason.
Can I do a profession sailor to see that?
Yeah, do a profession sailor.
So some 16 of the humans
for a 22.
Yeah, you actually know there are some peoples that will use hagfish slime or hagfish slime derivatives as a shark repellent.
Yeah.
It's not 100% effective, right. But... Yeah, opposite of chum, yeah. But some people do use it that way.
I think there might be shark-infested waters. Oh, profession sailor.
Yeah, I rolled 29, so I know that, but I know it even better than Drake.
Yeah, you can cite specific examples of people using it that way.
It's become battle. Even more unlikable at 6th level.
What Drake has failed to mention
is,
in the great battle of Lake Incarthen, there was a shark... infestation. Named. Anyhow, hagfish help.
Is the water, sorry, Joe, is it salt water, fresh water? Sulfurous, we know, but is it, that's a, because freshwater sharks are certainly
It doesn't
rare.
Matter it's... for sharks. We know that they exist in great amounts in both types of water.
This is true.
They're found frequently in the rivers of Galarian.
Yes, well known in the rivers of Galarian.
That's right.
Overcome with
not
predatory.
Usually in fully enclosed freshwater systems, there's usually an outlet to a saltwater system in which they can... But I digress. This is freshwater, and actually you think it's probably safe to drink.
Mm-hmm.
If it does taste a little of rotten eggs.
Yeah. It's probably gross, but drinkable.
Mm. Potable. Lukewarm water. Sticky
well,
stuff.
Azura's just going to express her concerns about that there's probably sharks in the water, or perhaps that's why it's here, or maybe it was relocated from somewhere else. Those are the two options. In either way, we should be careful about sharks in the water as much as possible, so be armed with your ranged attacks and stuff like that, and let's try to just, can we take it across to the island?
Yeah,
let's just be careful and don't get capsized.
Yeah,
whatever we do,
sit down,
don't
Colonel.
As long
sit
as down, no one Colonel. Falls in the water, we're fine.
I shall lead this crew.
We all
row.
Tie ourselves to the boat with no lead line. Like, it's just tied directly to the boards.
Does the raft have, like, a Canals of Venice type of, like, long pole to the ground to push us along? Or is it more we have to makeshift for us?
Punting down the Thames. on the Chawil. No, the water is too deep for that, but there are a couple of crude oars that you could use.
Grab those. Right.
This boat is far too crude for the Colonel, but he will board it. Yeah.
All so right. We'll all climb aboard.
We'll all climb aboard. Yeah.
Rickles.
Yes, it's Rickles.
Yes, and and you sail across. And it's really eerie, this whole thing, this structure, and with this consistent overcast mist hanging over everything, and this smell, this sulfur smell, and the occasional bubble, this like gas coming up from the base of this thing. But you guys make your way across, and you get to the opposite shore, and I'll put you guys out on here. on roll 20. There you go. And roll for initiative. Roll for initiative. No. Roll a perception. Roll perception.
Oh, shoot his hand. Ooh. I'm rolling for initiative.
23. I thought he said that because I immediately moved the colonel to the door of the obelisk.
Oh, I did too.
Map joke.
At all. 13.
14 for Gabo on perception.
29 for Azora.
Oh, Azora.
Nice.
So
crushed it.
Yeah, 23 for the colonel. He doesn't mess around when it comes to sea stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, you two, the Luther and Azora, you spot this shape in the water. It looks like it's behind the raft, but it's like coming around it and towards the shore. And you see it get within like 20 feet of the shore, and you see like this claw stick up out of the water, and it seems to be coming towards you. Roll for initiative.
Save the raft. Save the raft.
Can baby. Anyone even remember how many episodes it's been since we've rolled
initiative?
It's been
like 5 episodes at least.
Oh, I'm going to say 15.
I'm going to say 9. I think it's been literally 9.
It's pre-pandemic either way, so it's been months.
Wow.
Wow.
We were so close when Gish was ready to strike out at the Strix. So close.
That's right.
Yeah. Sorry, everyone listening. I know you love combat, and I haven't delivered, but we're about to.
Oh, you've delivered.
Oh, also, one other thing. I mistakenly said Taldor. That's where you guys came from, that Almas was in Taldor. That's where you originated. It's actually Andorran. We've probably been corrected at some point, but
there we
go. I'm out. Right. I don't want to play anymore.
I know. I'm sorry. It's on me.
It's mistakes. Not what this campaign is anymore.
Colonel Luther, what'd you get?
Colonel Luther got a gentleman 17.
17. All right. Azura?
Azura got a 23.
23. Very nice. Gavo?
27.
27 for Gavo. And Drakeus?
Drakeus got a 23, and he only has a plus 3 bonus, so I assume Azura goes first.
Yes, that would be correct.
Okay. Natural 20. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you see the ridge of this thing, this carapace, poking up out of the water, coming towards you, and you have time to act before it hits the shore. So let's go with our first up is Gavo.
Can I use the underwater heavy crossbow when we're not underwater?
Yeah.
Okay. So Gavo, I don't know if you tell me, Skid, like when Azura warned us about the sharks and said, have your ranged weapons ready, I figured Gabo loaded the crossbow. I didn't say it, so...
Yeah, I figured you guys came across with weapons ready. You'd be dumb not to, so yeah.
Okay, so he'll draw the crossbow and aim at the creature and fire.
Okay.
Let me just make sure... Let me switch my weapon...
And I'll give it partial concealment because it's mostly underwater, so it's a 20% miss chance, but yeah.
Okay. All right. That is a 24 to hit.
That is a hit. Roll miss chance. Or actually, you know what? Yeah, it's obscured. 20% miss chance.
Okay. 67.
Okay, you're good.
And it takes 6 points of damage.
Okay. Shoom! So you could hear the crack of your bolt going through this thing's shell. And it's pretty unpleasant, but it keeps coming. And it is Azura's turn.
Azura is going to, as a swift action, she's going to imbue her magical underwater heavy crossbow bolt with a little arcane energy to give a bonus to damage should it hit. And she'll fire at this thing.
Okay.
Let's see here. Natty 19. Is that a critical threat?
It is
a critical threat.
Oh, my goodness. We'll roll that mischance first.
Yeah, let's roll the mischance first.
18.
We'll get that out of the way. 28.
Ooh, okay.
<That's tough. laughs> I don't like it. Ooh, man, that's going to be a 22.
To confirm?
To confirm.
That is a confirmed critical.
Oh, dude.
That's beautiful.
Oh, huge.
I wonder if this is her first shot with the underwater heavy crossbow, the masterwork under heavy water, because I feel like I got it, but I don't remember using it yet. So this is from Brad in Houston, Texas. This might be really cool for a bard. It's called Inspiring Strike.
Ooh.
Your shot strikes true, and your allies notice double damage. Additionally, all of your allies' crits automatically confirm for the rest of this combat.
Oh,
no, wow. That's
awesome.
Wow.
That's great.
What that's a
great
crit. Really cool. All right.
Good job, Brad.
Thank you, Brad. All right. So, double damage with the heavy crossbow. Interesting. Does my arcane strike damage double? Probably not, but it's not. I don't know. It's arcane strike. It's just a magical bonus to damage.
Yeah, I think bonus damage should double too, right?
Yeah, it's not a type of damage. It's just plus one damage. Yeah,
or is it like sneak attack that doesn't? Or
it's
like,
not yeah. precision. It's not precision damage. Yeah, I think it doubles.
That's all right, great. Doubles. I'll double it then. This is awesome. 30, so 17 points of damage.
Ooh,
very nice. Makes contact, and then she is going to move and put Drakeus and the Colonel between her and the creature. So she's going to move back away from the creature with this now empty heavy crossbow that she's going to consider reloading for a full round, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll see where we're at in a round.
Oh, good work. All right, so that makes it Drakeus's turn.
Yeah, and I've been kind of arguing with myself about which weapon to have out. Drakeus now has a bunch of weapons to choose from. I think the one that makes the most sense between the Great Axe, Sarastal, the longbow, and his long spear is the long spear. That's probably what he would have to defend himself on a raft trip, and I can't justify having a ranged weapon out. So I'm going to have Drakeus move to the edge of the shore, which is dicey because I bet this thing has grapple and it'll try to drag us under. But we'll stand there and ready in action to attack him when he gets close. Or can I move and ready in action? I always forget.
You can.
Ready. Okay, then I will do that. Once it gets within range, I will attack it.
Okay. All right, it is Colonel Luther's turn.
The Colonel will stand right there and like grasp at his hair like he's pulling something out of his mind and just tosses it in the direction of the creature. Roll a will save.
Ooh, okay. Will save. Ooh, that's probably not going to do it. That is an 11.
Lesser confusion.
Oh.
Unless it's immune to mind-affecting or compulsion effects.
Yeah, since this kind of weird creature, just make sure it's not immune to mind-affecting.
Yeah, it might be. I didn't have anything else, so I thought I'd try this to see if bias around. It's one round of confusion unless it is immune.
Hold one second. It is immune to mind-affecting effects, unfortunately.
All right, so we throw it out there and felt like it really landed and it didn't do anything. Then move action. Can I grab the raft and pull it up on shore?
Yeah, I'll let you do that. Yeah.
Okay, great. I'll just haul that up just in case its only interest was in capsizing their one means of getting back across.
Okay, so you drag this thing up on shore, and actually the moment you do that, it darts through the water towards you, and from 15 feet away, it snaps its claw at Drakeus trying to grab him.
Whoa, he's got reach McGillicuddy.
Oh, dear.
Ooh, that is 19 to hit?
Precisely a hit.
Oh, no.
What if it, like, grabs and does, like, a crocodile roll?
And then drags you under,
I bet this thing has a grapple.
That is 13 points of damage, it does try to grab you.
Oh, it's got that plus so four funny. Bone to grapple.
Oh, this always happens to Drakeus. He always gets grabbed.
That is it's a 25 CMB against your CMD?
Yes, because it is not an aquatic humanoid. It beats my CM.
Oh no! Okay, so it crunches around your waist, and it's just you let out this grunt of pain as it crushes you, and this is not very pleasant at all.
And am I dragged into its square?
No, and not at the moment. No, okay. You're still standing on shore. All right, it is round two. And
do I get to attack or resolve? No, because it's just 15
feet away, so
I can't like stab at its claw, right?
Okay. Yeah, I don't think you can, right?
Yeah, I have 10 feet of reach. This is a real bummer, too. I have a reach weapon.
Yeah, yeah, it's this thing. It has 15 feet of reach, so. Okay, so that is round two. It is Gavo's turn.
Okay, now, Skid, are we able to stand in like squares along the shore, like there or there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can stand in partial shore, including squares.
Okay, great. Gabo is going to, he's going to move, take, you know, there and then there, which will means he's going to roll acrobatics to avoid the attack of opportunity from the creature.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me do that first. He's going to, he's also going to drop the heavy crossbow and draw his cutlass as he goes.
Okay.
But let's roll the acrobatics. Okay, that is a 24.
That is insufficient.
Okay.
That is insufficient. So, with its other claw, it snaps at Gavo. Ooh, natty 18.
I'm going to parry that.
Oh, okay. Tang, tang.
Okay, natty 16. So that is a 28.
Okay, so its total is a 31.
Okay, so, yeah, you got me.
Just like Dark Souls when I try to parry. It works.
It's so hot. And that's 13 points of damage, and it also attempts to grab you. Oh, not a good roll, but it's still probably enough. That is a... Oh, wait, let's see. 26.
That is... Yeah, you grab me.
Okay, so you're both grabbed, and you have a two-handed weapon. I guess you can't do anything.
My cutlass is one-handed.
Oh, okay. Oh, but you don't have reach to get it. So,
Where does it grab? Does it grab me in that first square?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you're considered to be adjacent to any creature that's grappling you. So, like, I think if you.
I can still
whack creature's
at it.
Grappling you. You can always hit it.
I'll let Drakeus get an attack too.
Well, mine's two-handed, so I'm in a different situation. Okay. The long spear is two-handed.
Well, looks like it's just you and I.
Can I take an attack with my
you
cutlass?
You and me, Kearns.
Yes.
All right. Natural one.
Oh no! Confirm.
Oh, roll to confirm.
Roll to confirm.
That's right.
Confirm.
Natural eight. 20 to hit.
Okay, you do not confirm the fumble.
Oh,
God.
Huge. Wow.
You're plus 12 to hit. It's amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Am I the only one that always roots for a confirmed fumble?
They're exciting.
That's fun. You never know.
You and all the subscribers that sent in fumbles.
All right, that will make it Azura's turn.
Back to Azura. Okay, this is a bad situation.
It was it was even more of a miss because I'm grappled. I forgot to put, I didn't check the condition yet. So.
So was it a fumble?
Oh, wait, so that was a fumble.
So you fumbled, dude.
Oh, that's yeah, so fumble. To confirm, what did I roll? An 8, so that would be, 16 to hit.
Yeah, that's a confirmed fumble.
Oh, the fumboni! I got my wish!
Okay.
Yeah, thanks, Troy.
So sorry. Love drama.
All right, I'm going to do this one because I saw the title, so I'm just picking it because it's too appropriate for Matthew. From Brian in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh,
Brian.
Nice.
This one's titled No Pants Flute Dance. So I had to give it to Matthew. In your haste to swing your melee weapon, your pants accidentally come loose and fall to your ankles. You lose half your move speed until the pants are back up where they belong. You can spend your next move action to pull up your pants to stem this embarrassment, or keep the minus 10 move speed if you are feeling like an exhibitionist. If you are not wearing pants, then you got away without a fumble. Please don't kill the PCs.
It's so nice, Brian.
Yeah. So as part of this melee, your pants get dropped, and so you have to.
When he grabs me with his pincher, I get my pants just kind of get
ripped and start falling loose, and now they're tied around your ankles. So you have half movement speed until you spend a move action to fix that.
All right. Gavrix is wearing a set of bloomers with little hearts with an arrow through them. And now you all know that.
Utterly humiliating.
That's amazing.
Okay. All right.
Oh, it's my turn, right?
Witness to that, and it is Azura's turn. Yeah, it is Azura's turn. All right. First thing I'm going to do is a knowledge check on this creature. That would be what?
Nature.
Okay. I'm going to do knowledge nature then, and that would be a 22.
Yeah, you know this thing is what is sailors refer to as a shark-eating crab.
Mm.
They are fearsome hunters of the deep, and yeah, they're just like really big, dangerous crabs.
Okay. Cool. Then I will give the party this information. And do I know any weaknesses, any weak spots, anything like that? DR?
No.
Okay.
No, they don't have DR. They don't really have any notable weaknesses. They do need to return to water. They can't live forever outside of water, but they can leave it to hunt. And they have very fast claws. They can, in game terms, they can make a third attack with their claw, even if they miss with the first two. They miss with the first two.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And, yeah. And that's it.
Okay. So she's going to explain the creature's abilities and weaknesses or whatever fast enough to give you guys confidence that you can take it out. She'll also say that like they're easily defeated, and we'll sort of inspire courage in you. So go ahead and inspire courage. So add a plus two to hit and damage. So as you're hopefully fighting your way out of it, you can get a little more chance to hit. Excellent. Undo that grapple penalty.
All right. So,
and then she will drop the heavy crossbow, and she will draw out her plus one greenwood shortbow. So she'll pull that out as a move action.
Okay, awesome. All right, and it is Drakeus' turn.
Feeling so dumb to not drag this thing onto land further, but I felt confident with my swimming ability and just general comfortability around water. And that's fun, so I'm not going to complain too much. Since Drakeus is grappled, an escape attempt is a standard action. I always forget with grapple rolls every time.
Yes, it is.
Okay. And I just am either roll a CMB or my escape artist, whichever is better.
Yep.
Okay. Here comes my CMB. I'm going to throw in a bottle cap on this.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. All right, I just won.
Okay.
Okay, a 9 and a 17, so ooh. I rolled a 25.
Good cap.
25.
That's not enough.
That's not enough.
Bad cap. So there's no way to get out.
Bad cap.
As a free action, Drakeus is going to drop the plus one long spear he has because it is, two-handed. I can't really do a move action to make part of it be drawing a weapon, so...
You can, can you just draw the weapon as a move action.
Okay, I'm going to draw my one-handed paramil at this point, which is basically like a diver's knife that he keeps at like the back, ready for situations just like this.
Yeah, desperate situations.
Okay. Yeah, it's not good.
What is this thing's AC?
But yeah, so just to give an example, that was a 17 on the die, and I was not able to escape, so I think he probably communicates to Gavo somehow, this thing has iron vice grip. And then that will be his turn.
Okay. Yeah, this thing's grip is like, you think you put all your strength into it, and it's, you don't, can't even budget. This thing is impossibly powerful.
Can I also do a sailor check? rolling over what I had. The hagfish was for sharks, the stuff that we found on the bottom of the boat. I do a check to see.
You know that it's used for sharks, but so my point was that it's probably used to repel predators underwater.
Could it? Can I do a check to see if it would work on something like this? You said it wasn't always effective, but like, I can do a check on that.
Yeah.
Okay. 4 on nature. Well, sailor, we'll say so. 10. No.
You're not sure. Okay, you're not sure. Okay, it is Colonel Luther's turn.
All right, right on the edge of the shore here, like in this spot next to the creature, which is more water than shore, is it like, if I step there, do I go out and up to my waist, or can I stand there and swing at it?
No, that's all shallow water. Like, you can go in up your waist, right? Where the crab is all you can go up your waist.
All right, so the colonel will slide into position going around Gavo up to this creature. It only has 2 arms, right?
Yep.
Okay. And feeling inspired by Zorda's words, he will swing.
Yes.
Cold iron, heavy flail, let's go. 22 to hit.
That's a hit.
Yes.
Let me
plus
get
2
out
to DiMaggio.
D10. 10 max damage, 15 points of damage. Just fucking rocks its shell.
Oh. Nice.
Very
man,
good.
A little trip to Red Lobster. Break out the lemon juice.
I brought some drawn butter.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you do a real solid crunch, like right in the top of its shell. And it goes flying. But it's still holding tight on your friends. And it is its turn. Now, how does this work? Like, if I wanted to drag you guys out into the water, what would that entail?
That's CMB. It's like the drag function. It's like drag reposition.
I believe that the opponents get an immediate check to jump out of it if you're going to pull them into a deadly situation.
It's Lork and the catapult. You get a small bonus or something.
You get a +4 bonus to your CMB to get an emergency immediate action breakout. Something like that.
Oh, this is amazing. Maybe not. Let's find out. Drag. It's right under combat maneuvers. You can attempt to drag a foe as a standard action. You can only drag an opponent who is no more than one size category larger than you. The aim is to drag a foe in a straight line without doing any harm. If you do not have improved drag, initiating a drag provokes an attack of opportunity from the target of your maneuver. But I think because you're grappled, you don't get that. I could be wrong. If your attack is successful, both you and the target are moved 5 feet back, with your opponent occupying your original space and you in the space behind it that is in a straight line. For every 5 by which you exceed your opponent's CMD, you can drag the target back an additional 5 feet. You must be able to move with the target to perform this maneuver. If you don't have enough movement, the drag goes to the maximum amount of movement available to you and ends.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure.
All right. Well, you know, I'll just make a CMB check with you guys grappled. And, well, first I roll to maintain the grapple. Well, should I roll to maintain the grapple and then use that number to see if I can drag you back?
I think it's 2 separate rolls. So first roll to maintain the 2 grapples, and then you can roll the drag.
Okay. On Drakeus, that is a 37. Maintain the grapple. And on Gavo, it's a 26, which I think was what I got last time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so those grapples are maintained. And I'm going to try to drag you both back. That is, oh boy, that is a 35 on Drakeus. And a 24 on Gavo.
Yep.
Okay. So I think I can only move you back 5 feet. So it's slowly moving you guys into the water, like you're just ankles are kind of covered by the sulfurous waters. The shark crab is dragging you into it.
I can see our heels digging into the sand and like a long line as we're being like dragged into the water. Yeah.
Yes. And it is crushing you at the same time. So, Drakeus, you take 12 points of damage from its constriction, and Gavo, you take 13 points of damage.
Okay.
Not look good.
All right, it is round 3. It's Gavo's turn.
All right, Gav, this situation got out of control pretty quickly. So I'm going to attack twice. I'm going to use a swift action to enact my precise strike ability. It's to double my precision damage on precise strike.
Okay.
All right, so first attack. 22 to hit.
That's a hit.
Okay.
Wow.
Huge.
Wow.
Huge.
Wow.
It's 21 points of damage.
Oh, man.
Baller.
Are you lying about everything about your character now?
1d6 plus 5, and then because of this precise strike ability, which I just doubled, I normally get an extra plus 6, but because I spent the panache point, I get a plus 12.
Oh my god, that's a lot of damage.
Baby.
Okay.
I now don't get that on this one, because you expend it... Well, I think you only expend it once. I mean, just confirm that.
So you spend panache to get that extra...
On the next attack. You spend a point of panache to double your precise strike's damage on the next attack. It must be used before the end of your turn or there's loss.
And you rolled a 6? Is that a d6 you have to roll to get the damage to begin with?
No,
it's auto 6.
Precise strike is an auto 6. Wow. I rolled the d6 just for the normal...
And you just always have that plus 6 to damage on every hit?
Yeah, at third level, it's a deed. As long as you have a panache point, you gain the ability to strike precisely with your one-handed...
That's better than gunslinger bonuses. That's awesome.
Yeah. You're like Captain Blood. It's awesome.
Yes.
You also can't use a shield other than a buckler. It comes with a bunch of restrictions. But it's a pretty cool building.
It's okay. Really cool.
And then second attack. 19 to hit.
That is a miss. Oh, wait. No, it's grappled. So that is a hit.
Nice.
Okay. That is going to be 13 points of damage.
Okay. Whittling this thing down.
Wow,
Gabo,
that's a lot of HP.
Gabo takes a free action to look down and notice that his bloomers are now soaked and have gone a little bit see-through, and he's not wild about that.
Oh no, you've got stinky britches now.
You've got stinky britches.
You've got stinky britches.
Stinky britches.
You've got stinky britches. And it's Azura's turn.
Okay.
Kill it.
Oh, jeez. All right. Azura will. She's going to keep the performance going. Mm-hmm. She's going to move up to the edge of the water. Near the edge of the water here, and she'll try to fire at it.
Okay.
This is a tough shot for old Azura. 20.
That's a hit
because it's great. It has the grappled condition.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
beautiful. And I also used the swift action for the arcane strike. So just plus 2 to damage.
Okay.
Max damage, 8 points of damage. Ooh, with the short
baby.
Bow arrow.
Twing. Shunk. It sinks into its flesh through an existing pre-made hole. Smashed open by the colonel's flail.
Sorry. It's 9. I forgot it's a plus 1 short bow. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Very well done. And, oh boy, it's Drakeus' turn.
So it seems pretty desperate in a lot of ways because I'm going to throw in a picture, actually. You know, normally when someone is just equipped with a dagger in this game, you're like, that sucks. But this is like a gnarly diver's dagger. This is a huge, like 9-inch long dagger that's serrated and ready to rumble. And this is where power attack really comes into handy. Even though I'm only doing 1d4 worth of damage with it, it'll be 1d4 plus 10.
Oh god!
So it's not too shabby if I can hit with power attack on. That's a plus 8 plus 3. Here comes 2 attacks. 16 on the first attack for a 24.
That's a hit.
And then let me find a d4. There we go. Max damage, 14 points of damage.
Wow. Well, you know what? Go ahead and save that second roll and describe your kill, Drakeus.
Nice, Drakeus.
Drakeus figures out exactly. He sees the cracks that were put into it by the colonel and Gavo's strikes on the creature and calculates somehow in his predatory mind exactly how to extend those fractures out throughout the entire crustacean shell. And the whole arm pops off, and that just unleashes a deluge of like inner working ichor that this crab works on, and it sprays everyone completely as it slowly dies from it.
Awesome. Yeah, it's shell, shattered shell slumps into the water as you step back with this claw still hanging around your waist, severed now, and the combat is over. Wow.
That was so scary. I was down half HP.
Wow.
I'm pretty close to half. Yeah. I knew I shouldn't have worn the white bloomers today for adventuring.
Okay, so you guys are standing now on the shores of this island looking up at this 140-foot tall tower sitting on top of it. What do you do?
Gabo pulls up his pants.
That's a good first step.
Oh, it's going to feel awful. You're all soaked.
Oh, yeah.
covered in ichor.
It's coated head to toe in crab ichor.
My finest adventuring shirt.
What's nice about a giant crab, though, is it's usually so hard to get the good meat out of them, but we can really just easily eat the meat out of this thing. And, oh, it tastes awful. It tastes like sulfur.
And prepare to roast them in a fire once we're done with the tower.
Azura will pick up her heavy crossbow and reload it.
Gabo will pick up his as well.
Look around.
Colonel will detect magic in the area. Anything buried in the sand or...
Okay. There is nothing buried in the sand. There's definitely magic emanating from the structure. But that's it. And there's a pair of double doors on the northern face of it. And you guys haven't seen around the backside of this island yet.
Mm. Yeah. So that's one thing Azura would be pushing for, is just to sort of walk the circle and make sure see all the island before we start entering a structure.
Two to the north.
Check out the backside.
Two to the south.
Yeah.
Let us circle in different directions. Two to the north and two to the south.
Dragius is a little slow just cleaning out his weird crab wounds that just occurred to him.
Oh, yeah. Can we do some healing?
Yes, gather around. Not too close.
That's far enough.
That is more than enough. All right, here we go. 3d6, you're going to get, a couple fives and a two, so 12 points of healing.
Amazing.
Do you want some more?
I'm at 47 out of 60, so I could use some, but I don't know how everyone else is.
Yeah, I'm happy to burn the channel. I got three left.
I'm down 14, so if you want for another one.
Then that would be smart. Poop. That's going to be 11 points of healing on the second channel. Second Chanel.
Chanel, positive energy.
Chanel.
The new positive energy. Positive energy.
From positive energy. Positive energy by Chanel. Chanel.
I'd like to think that the Colonel's positive healing feels like being approached by a perfume salesperson at the mall. Like it smells good, but it's not welcome at all. You're like, please, you're assaulting me with that.
How has it taken us hundreds and hundreds of episodes to make that joke? It feels like it's been there all this time.
That's a good staring question. Us in the face.
All right, let's go.
Yep.
Drakeus.
I'll go to the north.
Help us range around the backside of this island.
Gavo with me.
Can we go that way, or is that a ridge, Troy? Or
that looks like a ridge, but
there's like a spiraling ramp, earthen ramp up to the structure. It's at the structure is actually rooted 50 feet above the surface of the water on the top of this hilly island in the middle of the lake.
Okay.
So, yeah. So you go
around the back, it is.
Come around the back, and yeah, you see there doesn't seem to be anything back here. There's no other doors or anything on the structure. Colonel Luther's going for a quick dip.
Constitutional?
Do you actually do that, Colonel?
He leaps off the 140-foot cliff to do a swan dive.
I wanted to go hang out near the compass.
Okay. So, yeah, so you come around the front north side of the building, and there are these pair of double doors looking at you, and I can describe them here. An immense stone double door bars entrance into the building. The right side bears a relief depicting a humanoid woman with ankle-length hair and large butterfly wings, holding aloft a single shining star. The left side depicts a stern-looking woman with a blindfold over her eyes, holding a single knife above her head, tip pointed down toward herself. At the middle, where the both sides of the door join, is the symbol of a single spiral with a five-pointed star at its center.
Can I do a knowledge check on the symbology? Yeah.
I'll do a religion.
Or?
Yeah, do a religion.
Come on. 15.
22. I'm just taking 10 on that.
Oh, yeah. Neither one of you can place this.
Okay.
Hmm. Interesting. Does it resemble at all some of the symbology we saw end of book one in that tower?
No, this is completely distinct. It's in a different style. It's in a sort of reminiscent style, but also very, very distinctive from the one that you saw at the Spindle Lock Tower. And, I mean, the butterfly wings, like, you immediately think of Desna.
Desna, right.
Yeah.
But do they have one eye or two eyes?
They're humanoid, two-eyed creatures depicted.
Okay. Knock, knock, knock.
Do you knock on the door?
No, we should listen at the door and see if it's unlocked. I'm not good at this, Ted.
You don't hear anything.
24 perception.
You also hear nothing.
Let's move forward.
Let's proceed open with caution. Door. Colonel Luther opens the door.
Okay. You attempt to open the door and you cannot.
Oh, come on.
It refuses to budge.
Due to weight or lock, it sounds like, based off your sound effects.
There's no lock. There's no lock visible. It just won't budge at all.
Maybe it's barred from the other side?
Possibly.
Any tracks, any fresh tracks around the area real quick? Just a natural one. I have no idea.
I'll roll that as well. 13 for a 24.
No, not...
Or sorry, not, that's not correct. 14.
Oh.
Oh, no, 24. That's right.
No. Not where you're standing. There's no tracks.
Okay. Can we just confirm that it's barred? Like, can we do a combined effort to shove the door in, strength check, or...
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so we all try to shove the door just to see.
Yeah, you all team up, and it's like, yeah, it refuses to budge an inch.
Okay.
Does it look scalable? Drakeus looks like Ezio from Assassin's Creed. And is ready to climb to the top and then get a survey and dive into a hail bay.
This thing's walls are basically sheer and straight up. So, it's not would not be an easy climb at all.
Is there anything that you would, like, inset on the door, like you would place something in the door, like a medallion or anything?
Make a perception check.
Someone do that.
Zora rolled
19.
I have cataracts.
No, there's no... It doesn't look like there's any kind of an aperture or anything that you would use. There's no, like, locking mechanism at all.
Is there a time to whip out that new disabled device?
There's no lock. Can you describe the engravings again once more, Skid? I'm sorry.
Yeah, they are...
A woman with butterfly wings holding a star, shining star above her head. Mm-hmm. And a blindfolded woman holding a knife above her head pointed down toward her.
Yes, correct. And at the middle, where both sides of the door meet, is the symbol of a single spiral with a five-pointed star at its center.
Just trying to ascertain if there's any kind of riddle in the image that we have to solve that would allow us to speak friend, say, and enter. Doesn't sound like it. My other thought is there might be some sort of entrance down below that we could swim into.
Oh, underneath. Oh, boy. Yeah. Think Desna luck.
And the dagger pointed downwards, and none of this iconography looks familiar to us at all.
Well, yeah, it does. You think Desna immediately,
Desna.
But it's like maybe an ancient depiction,
right? Right. It's like an ancient interpretation of Desna, and then with the blindfolded woman, you think of maybe Phirasma.
Justice.
But yeah, and then there's the spiral, which is for asthma.
Yeah,
the five-pointed star. Mm-hmm. It's Desna.
Azura, would you be willing to take a swim and scout out the waters around the island to see if there's any way inside?
Sure. No problem.
Just volunteering everyone today. Drakeus, get in the water. Azura, scout out.
I would do it, but I soiled my bloomers.
Those were cute, Drakeus, by the way.
Drakeus, oh, I'm afraid of what I might encounter under the surface. Would you perhaps come along with me, with your spear?
Happy to accompany you.
So can we go just like a little bit under the surface and just sort of do a long swim around the island to see if there's sure. any caves or anything within the wall?
Yeah.
And I like to think we're going, because the visibility is so low down there and we're going to be close to the bottom, we're trying to, if there is like silt possibility, like we're swimming kind of slowly and taking our time to not sure. like kick up more things to cloud our vision.
Yeah, the visibility is already very bad, so for sure. Do you guys leave from the crumbled dock, or where do you leave from?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And which do you go, clockwise or counterclockwise?
We'll go clockwise from the dock where that creature wasn't. We'll start heading that way.
Okay. So you guys, you jump into the water and it's quite comfortable. Very warm. And yeah, you're swimming along just under the surface, going up there occasionally. And you swim around the eastern side of this island. And immediately, it's just sitting just above the waterline. You see a cave.
Good call, Matthew.
Can you ping it? Where is it?
Yeah, it's right in the middle of the eastern side of the island.
Ah, okay. All right, great. And you said it's at the water line, so it's just below the water line?
No, it stretches up above the water.
Okay, so you can swim into it and still have your head above water.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so then we'll swim back.
You can actually
wade
into it. You can wade into it.
Yeah, so let's swim back, Drakeus, the way we came, and then go get them, and we'll swim everybody on the surface around to that cave.
And if we stay close enough to the parts of the map that are land, it seems like, is it shallow enough the whole way around to kind of step 5 foot away from and just walk there?
Yeah, yeah. There? You guys could actually, those who can't swim could just wade around the island to get there.
Great. Okay. Let's do that.
Okay, so we'll wade in there, and then Azura is happy to swim a little ahead by way of scouting with a stealth check, maybe? To try to swim like extremely quietly.
Okay, into the cave?
Into the cave.
Okay.
Ooh, I love it.
All right, Azura, make a stealth check.
A stealthy chronicler.
Seriously, an aquatic elf like knows how to swim dead silently, like a Navy SEAL. Natural 17. I mean, she is rolling rocks all episode. That's a 28 stealth.
Oh, phenomenal.
She slides in.
Slides in. And can't, do you have dark vision?
No.
Okay, so it's dark. It is very dark in here.
Okay, so she will reach in and draw out her iron torch that just... Okay. This iron stone comes around her head and it glows with the light of a torch. And it lights up this water.
And it illuminates. This cave goes in. It's natural rock for about 20 feet. And then you can see it emerges into a larger area. Yeah, so you come in through this natural stone fissure. And then you see that there's this collapsed section of wall within. And you can see there's like wooden scaffolding climbing up the sides of it. Like someone's trying to repair it or something. And then you see this larger chamber deeper within.
Okay, but there doesn't seem to be any immediate threat right here.
No.
I can climb out of the water?
No, like there's sort of not from where you are. You don't see anywhere to do that.
All right, well, I'll slow swim back and tell everybody to wade in to here with me.
Okay. And
yeah, we wade up Vietnam style with our guns over our heads.
Dun 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 dun
That's a season.
And if you'll scroll down on the map screen here, you can see you guys crowded up in this cave entrance.
Oh, man.
So if you could set your marching order there.
Oh, boy.
We're heading, strong we're swimmers west, in the right? front.
Yep. I'll have Drakeus and then maybe me and then Gavo and then the Colonel.
The Colonel looks at Gavo. Don't worry. I'll protect you.
Thanks, Colonel.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're a weird guy, Colonel.
A weird guy, Colonel.
It's Colonel
Kurtz. See, we got to talk about it. I thought Joe was doing All Along the Watchtower, and you were doing Time of the Season, and I did the
Troy
guitar
just
part.
Cut in with like a way quieter, lamer song.
It's,
like,
it's good waiting Corrado. Music.
I can't believe I'm still in that Corrado.
So look, okay, so Drakeus is taking the lead, so you're like wading in to this
kind of spear first with 10 feet of reach ahead of him. Like,
how deep is
anything?
the water's
about waist deep.
Okay,
so you wade through and you get to the point where this wall and the scaffolding is, where it sees like you're just where this fissure penetrates the interior of the structure. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you hear this, this horrible klaxon-like shriek. It's just like, it's like almost physical wall of sound, like boom! And you're all, it splits all of your ears. And there's this rumble as this fissure, the wall that's being held up by the scaffolding, collapses on top of all of you. And we'll see you next time.
Oh, no!
What?
Is that time? Myself
a trap?
For the season.
And then it just, the song finishes out, it just, the rubble sitting in the water. No sound, no creatures. Everyone drowned and dead.
Cuts back to Headley dead on the beach.
The end.
The end of the campaign.
Raiders of the Lost Continent is a Glass Cannon Network production. The Glass Cannon is an officially licensed partner of Paizo Incorporated. Ruins of Azlant is copyright 2017. Ruins of Azlant and the Pathfinder Adventure Path are trademarks of Paizo. All Pathfinder images are property of Paizo and are used with permission.